Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 9th. And we welcome your participation in our conversation this hour about success and what leads to success. And our guest's recipe for success after interviewing more than 500 of the world's most successful people. Richard St. John is the author of Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich, a catchy title for his book on what really leads to success. And he says it's not smarts, looks, or luck. Then what is it? He'll tell us, and you can share your recipe for success too and ask your questions about how you might become more successful, more satisfied in your lot in life, how you might become more successful, maybe richer, in 2007. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Share with us your definition and your recipe for success. We originally scheduled this program during the first week of January, along with some other programs related to New Year's resolutions, but we had to reschedule it and instead, on that particular day, follow up on the news of the death of former President Gerald Ford. Then we set it ahead for this coming Thursday morning, originally, but then we learned President Bush will address the nation on Wednesday night on his new strategy for Iraq, and we decided we should provide analysis and reaction to the new Iraq strategy on Thursday morning instead. So we moved our guest yet another time to this morning, and we appreciate his patience and understanding and his willingness to join us this hour. Richard St. John is president of the St. John Group, which is a marketing communications company. He is the author of Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich, What Really Leads to Success, and It's Not Smarts, Looks, or Luck. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, the U.S. airstrikes in Somalia in the news this morning gave me pause, but
it gave me pause, too, when I heard it on the radio. I thought, well, here we go again. But, hey, you know, like I say, successful people have a lot of bad luck, and luck is something you can't control, and I can't control any of that. So you just roll with the punches.
That's right. You have persistence, and so do we.
Yeah, exactly.
Persistence is one of your eight factors of success, which we'll get into those eight factors. But first, it says here, you are best described as a success analyst. What is that?
Well, I sort of fell into the role, I guess, in that I went out and started interviewing all these successful people, and then I spent most of my time, most of the 10 years, not interviewing them, but analyzing what they said after I interviewed them. So I would just pore over every interview and tear it apart word by word, line by line, over 10 or 20 million words, and then sort them into all the categories that people said helped them succeed so that I could come up with the top categories.
Yeah.
You know, we always hear, you know, somebody like Oprah say what helped her succeed, and then Trump says what helped him succeed. But I always wondered, you kept hearing commonalities. So what I wanted to find out was the commonalities. What do they all do so that, you know, I can do it too? And then that's my best chance of achieving some success in any particular area.
Yeah, it says here, too, that your mission in life is to demystify the whole subject of success. Is that really a big mystery for most of us?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of books out there, and, you know, they keep coming out all the time with new theories on what makes people successful and stuff. And I just wanted to start with my own personal blank slate and just go out and ask people. And no, it's not actually not that complex, but sometimes people seem to make it complex. You know, whenever I was interviewing these top people, and I interviewed, you know, James Watson, co-discoverer of DNA, world's top physicist, scientist, and none of them ever made success sound difficult. It all came down to some very simple things that they did that is what helped them succeed. You know?
And really, lucks and looks and smarts have nothing to do with it?
Well, that sort of fell out of the research. You know, I didn't start out with that. I didn't know what really led to success. And basically, you know, a lot of people started telling me how they weren't that smart. Even professors at Stanford and Harvard, and And I'm going, what? They're not that smart? And, you know, now I show kids my my report card, and all my marks were sort of typical of a lot of successful people. I was a C student, you know, or less than that sometimes. And that's typical in a lot of cases. Now, I'm not saying all successful people aren't smart. There are many smart, successful people, but the key isn't the smarts. The key is they took those smarts and then added the top eight factors on top of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think I've achieved some success.
I would say you've achieved success. I mean, how many people want to be on NPR and aren't?
Right. But I'm not rich. Are they one and the same?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I have rich in on the cover of the book. But I also mean a rich life by that. It's not just money rich. But it's really about success. And to be honest, the book cover is a marketing tool to get people to pick up the book. You know, like I said, I'd rather have a title that's maybe slightly askew, but people pick up the book and read it, than one where it's a dull title and it sits on the shelf and nobody cares. So, you know, rich is really just, a lot of people are concerned about money these days, but my big message in the book is actually don't go after the money. You know, forget about the money. You know, go after, just do these eight things and the money will come.
We will talk about those eight things after we check the weather. We are talking with Richard St. John. He's the author of the book Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich, about what leads to success and loving your life more. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Are you as successful as you would like to be? What questions do you have or experiences would you like to share with us? What is your recipe for success? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 18 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Tuesday morning, January the 9th. We're talking about success and what leads to success and how you might become more satisfied with your lot in life. You don't need great luck, great looks to be successful, according to our guest this hour. And we welcome your questions and comments for him. He is Richard St. John, president of the St. John's Group, a marketing communications company, author of the book Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Let's talk, Richard St. John, about the top eight success factors. Now, these are factors that the successful people you talked with all shared. Doesn't mean that these are the only factors that you need to succeed, right?
Right. I'd say these are sort of the foundation for success. You're going to pile other factors on top. For instance, in your business, it's good to be able to speak on the radio, and it's good to be more of an interactive kind of worker. And but these are the top eight generally that cross any field. I mean, people in every field kept bringing these things up. They kept saying how much they loved what they did, you know, how hard they worked. Focus is important. It's important to focus on one thing, not everything. Keep pushing yourself. We have to push ourselves through things like shyness and self-doubt. Ideas, I mean, after all, Joy, you have the Ideas Network.
That's
so
right.
Ideas are pretty important. And successful people, one idea has taken many successful people like Bill Gates, made a big difference in their life. Improve. Successful people are always trying to improve themselves and what they do. Serve. Success isn't just about me. Successful people serve others, something of value. And by the way, that's the way to get rich is to serve others something of value and to have a rich life. And the last one, number eight, persist, because there really is no overnight success. A common number that keeps popping up in my research is 10 years to really achieve success at anything.
Well,
so those are the top eight in brief form.
And we will go into some more detail on all of those. Passion. If you love what you do, it'll be much easier to embrace the seven other factors. I guess that seems, you know, to make sense. You just have to love what you do.
Yeah, it helps. I put passions, there's no order, particular order for these things. They're all important, but passion's important because if you do love what you're doing, it's a lot easier to work harder at it and to focus and do all those things.
So, yeah.
But now the big problem is finding your passion. And there's a, you know, I used to think that, you know, successful people always knew what they wanted to do from the time they were 10, you know, the kid that knows they want to be a doctor, you know, from very early in life. But I actually found a bigger group of people who I call seekers who, you know, when they're young, didn't have a clue what to do with their lives. And they really have to get out there and explore many paths in order to find their passion.
Yeah. So, any examples of a well-known person who didn't know what he or she wanted to do?
Oh, lots of them. I mean, Bill Gates, mm-hmm. Einstein, the list goes on. I mean, many people don't know what they do. And, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of falling into your calling. Don Lepore, who's in charge of the computers and information technology at Charles Schwab, said to me, "I fell into what I do, and I didn't know I loved it until I fell into it." So, and sometimes it takes a long time to find your passion.
Yeah. So, what kind of advice do you have for those of us who might not actually be in the job that is our passion?
Well, one thing I say is, if it's baby steps. If you're in a job that, you know, maybe you're not that crazy about, but maybe you're stuck there because, you know, you need to pay the bills, I say, you know, find your passion and start it on the side. Just do a little bit of it. Remember, Einstein's passion was physics, but he worked as a patent clerk for years, and he actually wrote his four most important papers on the side. They were like a little spare time project. So never underestimate, you know, what you can do on the side, even if you have another job.
Even if it's writing the world's greatest novel?
Yeah, particularly that. I mean, writing is something you can, you know, is relatively easy to do on the side. So, and you know, sometimes actually doing it on the side is better. In the case of Einstein, he was out of the way of people's radar. You know what I mean? He could sort of focus on it and not be bothered. So sometimes, you know, not being in the public eye or not making that your main thing and doing it on the side, sometimes it's better because it's less intimidating. You know what I mean? Sometimes we get intimidated if we set huge goals and go, oh, I've got to write the world's best novel. But if we just start writing things down on paper and doing it with really small steps, I found are usually more successful than big leaps. So I say don't try for the big leaps. Try for the small steps.
All right. Well, let's assume we do love what we do. Then you have to just work very hard.
Yeah, all successful people work really hard. Martha Stewart said to me, "I'm a real hard worker. I work and work and work all the time." But successful people also have fun working. So I say they're not workaholics. They're actually workaholics. And now if people say to me, "Oh, yeah, you know, you worked all weekend, you're a workaholic," I say, "No, I'm not. I'm having tons of fun working. I'm actually a workaholic." So I'm trying to get people to use that term and get over this impression that work is a bad thing.
Yeah. I'm in a profession, and I've heard others who are in broadcasting or journalism say the same thing. "I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this."
And that's a common thing I heard throughout my research. And sometimes I say, "Do you work hard?" And they go, "No, you know, I don't work hard." Then I say, "Okay, well, how many hours do you put in?" And they go, "Well, you know, I worked all weekend, and I worked usually most nights till later, 9 o'clock. And I go, "Oh, okay, you know," but because they love what they do and they're having fun at it, it doesn't seem like work.
Right, you're putting in these 70, 80-hour weeks sometimes, but you don't think you're putting in that much work. Now, I'm saying that I love what I do, and you do work hard, but again, you got to really love what you do and work hard. you don't get necessarily a ton of compensation, but you're saying the goal isn't necessarily to be a gazillionaire. It's to be happy with your life and your work, and certainly enough to pay the bills, but you don't have to be a multimillionaire.
No, and my point is most millionaires I've talked to never went after the money. In other words, they got their kicks, like you've been talking about, mm-hmm. by doing the work. Like, the work is the kick. You know what I mean? I would do what I'm doing for nothing. Well, it, trust me, in the writing field, I am doing what I'm doing for nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I've always just gone after what I love, and I've actually walked away from money a few times in my life, left great paying jobs to do no paying jobs just because I love them more. And in the end, you know, the money came. So, some things are much more important than money, actually, like appreciation from others. Never underestimate, acknowledgement and appreciation. William James, the father of modern psychology, said, that's one of the key things in life is just being appreciated by others. So that's why, it really is, the title's a little misleading because it's a rich life. Money is part of success. It's one aspect of success. But many people are working for rewards other than money, acknowledgement, appreciation, the satisfaction of a job well done. But when you look at it, money is one indicator of success because first you have to succeed at something, then you get paid. Nobody pays us to fail. So I have lots of examples of millionaires and billionaires in the book, not because I think it's great that they're rich. It's just actual proof that they succeeded big time at something, so maybe I should listen to how they did it.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Jay in Columbus is with us. Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I was just going to make the comment that you're talking about find a passion, and I think sometimes people get too stuck in the now, and I hate to sound like Mr. Rogers and the Power of Positive Thinking, but really, honestly, you got to kind of have a passion of your current job, and if you don't think you do, you should still try to make it that way. I mean, everyone asks me how I'm doing, and I always try to respond with excellent. And I came from a job where I didn't. I had kind of a different response. And just the fact that I'm always saying excellent kind of makes people, roll back on their heel. I just think that the current job you have, a lot of people have a job and they think they have it bad, but they really haven't been anywhere else to find out how good they have it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jay. Yeah, sometimes we're always looking at the other side thinking it's better when, in fact, it's not bad where we are,
That's what I was going to say, because I love my job now, and it is my passion, but I went back to college at 35 and picked a whole new career. So.
Well, good for you. So you were a seeker.
Absolutely.
Well, Jay, yeah. So, you went back to college. You knew you wanted to get into some other field? You knew you had some other passion?
Well, actually, the other way around, I knew I didn't want to be in the field I was in, which was law enforcement. I wasn't suited for it. I ended up with two ex-wives and decided I needed a new career.
What made you think that, Jay? I understand. Thanks a lot. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Richard St. John. He is the author of the book Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich, What Really Leads to Success. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question for him about how you can be more rich in your life, how you can be more successful. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Do you have the 8 factors that lead to success? We'll find out more after the news. Richard St. John is president of the St. John Group, a marketing communications company, author of Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 6:36, and we are talking about success during this hour and how we can all become more successful. Our guest is Richard St. John. He's the author of a new book called Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich. It's a catchy title. What it's about is what really leads to success. And he says it's not smarts, looks, or luck. It's a lot of other things. A lot of other factors are involved. And we are discussing the top 8 success factors that lead to success and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. We've talked some about the top 2, not in any particular order, but have a passion for what you do, love what you do, find something you love to do, work hard. It's a part of success is working hard. How about focus, Richard St. John? What is focus all about?
Well, and here it's a bit of a paradox, because when we're starting anything, whether it's your education or a problem, you sort of have to think wide and take lots of stuff in. But ultimately, as famous filmmaker Norman Jewison said to me, I think success all has to do with focusing yourself to one thing. And if you look around at successful people, they really are focused on one thing. They're not all over the map. Because a lot of us, sometimes we dabble too much. We tend to disperse our energy in many different areas. And we can become so much effective, I guess, if we can just focus it on one thing.
Mm.
And become an expert at it. I say the trick is become an expert at something, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes that means not being good at a lot of other things. Quincy Jones told me he's only good at making music. He said, I can't even drive a car or a nail. He says, like, I couldn't drive a nail if my life depended on it. But he makes great music, so we don't care if he can pound a nail in the wall.
Yeah, well, what about someone like Martha Stewart, though? She I guess she does specialize in the home diva stuff, but look at all of the different areas she's in.
Well, but see, we become a little confused because basically what made her successful was focus. She focused on becoming a homemaking expert,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, and that was, and you know, it's like Trump. Now he's on TV, he's got The Apprentice and stuff, but even he says he's becoming a bit too distracted now. You know, basically, you know, he loves real estate. That's his number one thing. He says, I followed my passion. I love real estate. Now he's doing the TV stuff and everything. But that's mm-hmm. after he's successful, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we get confused because we see people after they're successful and they're doing other things. And we go, oh, well, gee, I guess that must have led to their success. But sometimes it actually leads to their downfall.
Yeah, how about a feuding with Rosie and calling her names? That's not going to help him, is it?
Well, it probably will, ironically, because remember, any press is good press.
Yeah, that's that old adage. How about the next factor, push? What is push all about?
Well, push, I used to think successful people were very driven kinds of people, but, you know, I was never that way. I wasn't a guy that seemed to have a lot of drive. I just had to keep pushing myself, and that's a familiar theme that, you know, a top real estate agent, Ellie Davis, said to me, some days I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to call this person again and again and again. I just push myself. So it's important to keep pushing yourself, and we've got to push through things like shyness and self-doubt. You know, I'm amazed at how many successful people are actually incredibly shy, but they just keep pushing through it. Larry Page, co-founder of Google, has to be one of the shyest people I think I've ever met. He's so shy that when I was interviewing him, it was sort of painful for me. You know, I wanted to say, it's okay, Larry, you know, I won't bother you anymore. But he's a billionaire, so success shyness hasn't stopped his success. I actually came to the conclusion that shyness is actually good for you in some ways, because shy people spend more time, you know, alone, reading, focusing, using their imaginations, and when they're with people, they're watching and observing as opposed to talking. So those are all sort of skills for success.
Yeah, radio people are notoriously shy, and so are many actors.
Good point. Yeah, actually, Rip Torn says, I think most actors are shy. And, you know, Joy, when you think about it, acting is a profession that suits shyness, because it's very little time you're actually on camera, or in your case, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the time is spent looking at material, learning your scripts, and doing all the other things, which is a very much an alone process.
What do you make, though, of people who are in the various creative fields like acting and music, and they have a passion for this? They are undoubtedly work very hard. They undoubtedly have all of these traits that you're mentioning, but they don't get their band out of the garage. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can love what you do and work very hard at it, but not necessarily gain that monetary success or, you know, the magazine covers.
Good point. And usually what I find when I analyze those situations is there's one or two of these eight factors they're not doing. They may love what they do, but one of the things I say is, you know, love what you do and the money will come. But there's a part two to that equation. You have to serve others something they also love. Do you know what I mean? Because it's other people that pay us money. So you can love what you do. You know, I know people that have great hobbies. They spend their lives on their hobbies. They're perfectly happy. They love what they do. They don't make any money from it because they're not serving other people.
Your product has to be something that people want to be served.
Exactly. That's the only way they're going to pay you money for it. I mean, if you go on, you know, if you look at the top billionaires, they all got rich by serving other people something of value. They didn't get rich in the stock market or, you know, that's a myth, and or, you know, real estate or whatever. They all get rich by serving others something of value, whether it's Bill Gates serving us software that we value or Sam Walton serving us discounts at Walmart or Warren Buffett. Now, he got rich through investing, but it's because he serves us a good return on our investment, and he actually serves his investors. That's who he's serving. You know, if I invest as just me, little Joe Schmo, I'm not serving anybody but myself. I just want to get rich. But Warren Buffett was out to serve other people. So, you know, Martha Stewart said to me, I came to people with trusted information, useful information, valuable ideas and products. And it's that word value that made Martha the first American woman self-made billionaire. So serving is a really important aspect. And usually we think of serving, you know, like Mother Teresa serving the poor. And that's one aspect of it. But what I discovered in my research is that serving is a big thing. If you want to get rich, you've got to serve others something of value.
Yeah. So the artiste or the writer who just wants to write or create to satisfy his or her own passion isn't necessarily going to be successful if it's not something, a piece of art that other people want.
Yeah, funny you should mention that, because I actually have a writer who came to me after he read my book, and he said, you know, I could never figure out why I wasn't making more money, because I thought I was doing all the things that you mentioned, except he said, the one thing I know now I wasn't doing was I wasn't serving others. I was only writing for myself.
Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for writers who think they're writing for other people but get rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection?
Well, I just say hang in there, because all successful people get rejected. You know, it's basically a real common thing. You know, many, many people. David Gallo, a famous marine scientist I talked to, was rejected. He wanted to become a scientist, and he was rejected. People said he had no aptitude for science. So get this. He went away and sold shoes for 7 years. Then finally he said, I like science, so I'm going to go to night courses. He eventually got his PhD, and when I talked to him, he was director at Woods Hole, the world's largest oceanography institute. So he was rejected. Ruth Handler was rejected. You know, she had an idea for a doll, and she was laughed at by the people at Mattel. And she persisted and came up with Barbie, you know, the world's most popular doll. I was rejected, but, you know, not as often as I thought doing this project. Most successful people, I say, are very nice, and they gave me interviews. But Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, I was rejected by him 4 years in a row. I see him at a conference every year and say, Matt, can I get an interview? And I don't know why, but every year he'd say no. And then I hung in there. I just kept asking year after year, and then finally he said yes, and he gave me a great interview, and he also gave me my own personal drawing of Bart Simpson. So it's hanging here beside my desk to remind me that persistence pays off.
And then you put him in a book called Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich.
sorry, Matt. Yeah, you know, the only people that actually don't like the title are people that are in the book.
We are talking about the book, the information in the book, Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich, What Really Leads to Success. And it's not smarts, looks, or luck, according to our guest, Richard St. John. What is your recipe for success? What questions do you have about becoming more successful? Is it one of your resolutions for this new year? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Richard St. John interviewed some 500 of the world's most successful people. Did this for the past 10 years, 10 years of research and analysis, and has come up with some of the true secrets of success, the 8 common traits of success. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about what really leads to success with our guest, Richard St. John, the author of Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich. He interviewed these 500 or more famous people and came up with the top 8 success factors, factors that all of these famous people, successful people, shared. Those being a passion for what they do, working hard, having a focus, pushing them through times that they didn't want to do things. They had ideas, they would strive to improve, they would serve others, and persist. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Mary in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a math teacher at a college, and our semester starts on Monday. And I don't always have students who enjoy math, but who are required to take it. And I'm kind of working on my first day's sermon to encourage students to persist and work hard and do the things that they need to do to successfully pass my course on their first attempt. And I'm just wondering if your guest has other words of wisdom I can pass on to my students on Monday.
Interesting question, and good for you, trying mm-hmm. to get students to enjoy math. I'd say bring in Arthur Benjamin. I interviewed him. He's called America's Best Math Whiz, and he's pretty amazing at math. And but he's doing exactly what you're trying to do. He's a professor of math, and he's trying to get kids to know that math is fun. You know, it can be fun. It doesn't have to be drudgery. So it helps if you love it. I mean, when I asked him what his secret was to being so good at math, he said, basically, I think numbers and I have always gotten along.
Yeah.
But he said the secret to my success, how I can get up on stage and do these shows, where what he does is he gets up on stage and gets people to just shout out any 3-digit number, and he'll instantly, quadruple it, or
yeah.
cubit, or square it, cubit, or quadruple it. And he says it's just the millions of hours I put into practicing it. So it really all comes down to practice. And that's sort of a key to anything, is practice, practice, practice. And the people that we think are so-called talented, if you analyze how many hours they spend practicing, that's usually the differentiator.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, and kids don't have a lot of time to practice, but that is the key, is just say, if you're not doing well, I guess if they're not doing well in math, is just to do more of it, and just to keep at it. Maybe the persistence thing is a good one there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've come up with some ideas on how, some tricks and little techniques that you give them to help them along.
Yeah. And it is, it's different for everybody. Some people have to work really hard at it, and some people don't have to work as hard at it. But showing up every day is really important.
Yeah, putting in that practice is important. Yeah. And that's a lesson. I mean, for the kids that aren't good at it, it helps to know that it doesn't come easy to everybody, and some people like Arthur actually spend a lot of time at it to get good at it.
Mary, good luck. Thanks very much for calling. I'm also looking at the push factor of success, the ability to push ourselves through the downtimes and all the stuff we don't want to do. So you've got to have that have that drive a little bit to push yourself through things you don't want to do. You had to do that right away when you first started this project. You talk about your first interview. Wasn't that one of the Ben and Jerry ice cream guys?
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah, when I started this project, a girl asked me on a plane what leads to success, and I couldn't tell her, even though I'd achieved some success. And I got off the plane and went to a conference, and I was standing there in this room full of the rich and famous. When it hit me, I thought, oh, why don't I ask them what helped them succeed? And so I had my little tape recorder with me. So I stood there in the middle of the room going, okay, who should I interview? And then the self-doubt set in. I thought, why would anybody want to talk to me? I'm not a world-famous journalist. I'm not even a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And So I just sort of talked myself out of it. I said, nah, forget it. And I sort of went and slouched against the wall and was ready to pack in the project before it even began. And then who comes walking towards me but Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream. And I sort of figured, well, it's now or never. So I sort of pushed myself away from the wall and out in front of him. And I said, Ben, you know, I'm working on this project about success. And I don't even know what to ask you, but can you tell me what helped you succeed? He said, yeah, sure, come on, let's go over to Starbucks for a coffee. And over coffee, Ben told me what helped him succeed. Now, you'd think after that I'd be full of self-confidence. Uh-uh. I'd say for the next 200 or 300 interviews, I had the butterflies in my stomach. Every time I had to just keep pushing myself to walk up to these strangers and say, hi, can you tell me what helped you succeed? But now after 500 interviews, the practice of 500 mm-hmm. interviews, I'll walk up to anybody. If Bill Clinton walks past me on the street, I'll be on his tail saying, Bill, what helped you succeed? So it is just practice, practice, practice.
Let's go next to John in Mundelein, Illinois. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would say I agree with everything that you said about your book. I can think of a dozen examples for each one of the points that right. has worked for me. The one thing I would add, and it's kind of probably fits into one of the topics, is going where people say yes. And it's, you know, I was working in a place actually in Wisconsin, that's where I became addicted to you guys. And I was working there having a great time, and then it got to a point in my career where they were starting to say no. I would have an idea, no, we can't do that, that's too big, or we can't do that. So I left there and went to another company, and they were like, oh, great idea, yeah, let's do that. This is wonderful, let's do that too. And by the end of it, I'm now making, you know, instead of just under $20,000, I'm now making close to $100,000 in less than 6 years or 7 years, and it's been a great ride, and I'm learning and I'm growing. But as soon as people started saying no, get the heck out of there. Go somewhere where they're going to say yes to you. And it's happened in community groups and churches and stuff where someone said no, all of a sudden people started to say no. And then when I went to where people said yes, suddenly things took off.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. So, you're pretty adaptable, it sounds like.
Pardon?
You're pretty adaptable. In other words, you left where you were and went to somewhere else just to get away from the no's.
Right, to just seek out opportunity. So
So you would have a good idea, you thought, and whatever, your workplace wouldn't pursue it, and so that the idea never got done, and you left your workplace and went somewhere where they said yes.
Right, and maybe they're just trying to do the focus on one thing, but that one thing wasn't my thing, and I needed to go somewhere where the one thing was my thing. So
well, yeah. Another thing I say we have to push through is negativity. You know, there's a lot of negativity out there. And so that's a whole aspect that you have to push through. And I have lots of quotes in the book about, that people just, avoid negativity at all costs. You know?
Exactly.
Especially when you're trying to come up with ideas.
Exactly, yes. It's like, okay, and then, as you say, the whole self-doubt comes in. You're like, okay, maybe it isn't a good idea. But then when people start saying, yes, the dumbest idea in the world could work out great, so...
Well, thanks very much, John, for sharing that. Do you need Richard St. John, other people that go along with your ideas, or are you advocating, or are these successful people implementing these ideas on their own?
Well, it gets back into that rejection thing, because you're always going to encounter some of it. Do you know what I mean? So I think you have to believe in what you're doing, and that gets into the passion part. If you believe in what you're doing strong enough, you will push through all that stuff. You know, so that's why passion is sort of important. If you're not in love with what you're doing, it's pretty easy to give up and say, oh, okay, well, I'll just forget that idea. But, if you think it'll work, and sometimes you have to give it up for a little while and then you come back to it. Do you know what I mean? Every time somebody... Another thing is being able to take criticism. I actually have a big section in the book on criticism. I say we have to persist through crap, which stands for criticism, rejection, adversity, and prejudice. And criticism is a big one. But criticism can also be your friend. I mean, after I had the book finished, I actually gave it to 50 test readers and then spent 2 months making corrections based on what they said. Because it can be valuable. Criticism can help you. We don't like it at first. I hate it at first. But then I go, oh, yeah, gee, maybe the guy was right.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Doug in Minocqua, go ahead.
Hi. Morning. I've got a meeting tomorrow where I actually have to define what I see as successful, and I've moved into a new position in a company running it, and that's one of the questions in this meeting I have tomorrow. And is it just strictly a financial, or is it your peers saying, please?
I'm so sorry. We have less than 30 seconds. What is your definition of success, Richard St. John?
To cut it short, I say it's real simple. It's just achieving something, and we all have a different idea of what we want to achieve. But basically, all success comes down to achieving something. And so Doug, in his sense, just has to decide or come to the conclusion of what is it that they want to achieve there. And I say in my book, my book isn't about happiness, because I didn't ask people if it made them happy. I just said, what made you successful?
So. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Richard St. John, author of Stupid, Ugly, Unlucky, and Rich. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.